You always will have the naysayers. The naysayers, and here's the one thing I will say to anyone. Anyone who's a naysayer is a loser who's trying to sell you on the fact that you should be one too.
Whoa. Well, yeah.
That's the truth. That is the truth. Anybody's like, oh, no, blah, 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 blah. You know what? What you are hearing, you're hearing a loser who's now trying to sell you on the fact that you're going to be one too. And now, if you're a bozo and an idiot and you buy that, that's on you.
Sure.
But you also are the gatekeeper to your dreams.
Welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Let me ask you, when it comes to social media building and social media branding, I know you're big on LinkedIn, you're big on a lot of platforms. You've taken a liking to Clubhouse like a lot of us Apple users have. But here's my question. In your opinion, is social media anywhere near maturity, or is it still infant?
I think as long as there's ingenuity, it's going to be as fresh as we are.
It's a good way to look at it.
That's, sure. I mean, let's look at it as this. It's like, you know, I could say, hey, I want to be an amazing chef. Everything that possibly could have been cooked has already been cooked. Why would you want to be a chef? To which point, if I had a 2x4, I'd break that person's kneecaps. That's a moron, you know? And so, you know, that's like someone saying to Picasso, oh, everything that's ever been painted has been painted. New canvas has been around forever.
Or a musician.
You can't create anything new. You could do anything. Music, books, film, any form. You always will have the naysayers. The naysayers, and here's the one thing I will say to anyone. Anyone who's a naysayer is a loser who's trying to sell you on the fact that you should be one too.
Whoa. Well, yeah.
That's the truth. That is the truth. Anybody's like, oh, no, blah, 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 blah. You know what? What you are hearing, you're hearing a loser who's now trying to sell you on the fact that you're going to be one too. And now, if you're a bozo and an idiot and you buy that, that's on you.
Sure.
But you also are the gatekeeper to your dreams. And so the thing is that right now it's like you say, hey, here's the deal. I get that you lost. I mean, and I've literally told this to people because besides everything else that I do, I also put together based on my book and demand, I put together a brand intervention masterclass, which is a killer. It's an 8-week curriculum over the course of 9 weeks. And people get slayed. They get slayed and filleted inside out in a good way, because every Saturday morning during the whole thing for 2 hours, we get on a Zoom call, all those enrolled, and they'll say, blah, 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 blah. And I had one person who called me in between, like just direct call, called me up, said, David, blah, 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 blah. I know I'm crazy, but blah, 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 blah. And I heard this and I heard what they're saying. I'm thinking what they're saying isn't crazy. I said, let me ask you something. Or no, I didn't even ask him. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Whoever told you that you were crazy, you can give that idea back to them. That's their idea. That's not yours. That's bullshit. And the bottom line is what you just said actually is one of the most sanest things I've ever heard. It isn't crazy. So give that back to them. You got it? That's what I said to him. I said, you got it? And they're like, yep. I said, good.
That's cool.
And I was like, because we have the opportunity. We open the door or close the door on things that are either pro-survival or contra-survival. And that's on us.
I like it. So All right. As we wrap up, and I love all this. You could go on for days, as could I, because I'm learning a lot. Here's my question: you've been doing this 40 years. You've got $2 billion in revenue that you've created for your clients. Probably more at this point. When did you recall any moment in time when you realized the world was changing with respect to branding and marketing, specifically speaking about social media when it came on the scene, where you, being that disruptor, said, no, this is not a fad. We are diving full feet first in for you and your clients.
I would say it probably... I would actually give credit to Gary V for this, because Gary, he was really pushing this social media. Now,
right.
And for those that know me, it's like, here's the deal. I don't consider anything to be the cause of my success. I consider myself to be the cause of my success. I consider anyone who is successful, I give them full credit for their success. I don't consider it luck, because luck only happens to those of us that have hustled our asses off. How can you otherwise explain the lottery winners who 12 months later are broke, because they never earned it. So there's no ownership, right? So those that have earned it and have owned it and have maintained it, I give the credit to them. So the thing is that, I was listening, I would hear Gary occasionally, and I'd listen and I go, kind of interesting. And then I'd listen. I like what he had to say. I liked his values. He was very real. And the only thing was, I kind of initially rejected it, because I'm going, you can't give credit to the channels. You can't say, oh, if you go on Twitter, you'll be successful. You go on Instagram, you go on YouTube, as though those things were giving you the success. No, they're not. That's why I don't have as much respect for a company. Let's say a company like Google. Why does a company like Google not excite me? Because they've never created anything, really. They've taken what others have created, and they've set up this line, a search engine and other avenues, which have connected the creator with those who would support those creators. I like the creators. I love the creators. I love the creators in terms of entrepreneurship, in terms of ingenuity, in terms of initiative, in terms of innovation, in terms of saying no to the stupid, that's the way everyone, it's always been done kind of mentality and mindset. So for me, it was when I started listening, and I started going, what can I do to bring my inclination toward disruption and shaking things up? What can I do that would breathe life into those channels? And it was actually, you just reminded me of something. This is very interesting. It was actually about 5-6 years prior to that. It was very good on you, man. Good on you. So you just reminded me on something.
I try to be prepared.
No, hey, look, you're asking good questions. I had a column in Fast Company magazine, Fast Company Online, and I had written this article. I said, I forget the exact title, but something along the line that if you don't actually own your brand, if you don't own what your brand is about, social media won't do more for your brand than anything else. The only thing that social media will do for you, if you haven't worked out your brand, the only thing that social media will do for you is it will accelerate the speed at which you tell the world that you don't stand for anything, and that you're a freaking moron. That was basically what I said. And that was one of my first articles, that started to go, really went pretty viral. And people were like, amen, hallelujah. They were yeah. And that was the thing that was the beginning. Cause I always rejected anything. Because here's the deal. And hopefully for those that are listening to this, they will actually see this, because I know you're recording this, right there where my finger's at. You see that painting? That's a painting of George Harrison. I did that when I was 15, 16 years old. Okay.
You did that?
So my whole life, You know, there's pieces of art all of the, most of these are pieces of art that I've done over the years. And so the thing is that, you know, there's another one that I did. Like, and so anyway, the thing that happened is when I started to go from painting to illustration to then deciding, oh, okay, let me see if I can do some illustration using the computer as my medium, as opposed to, and I remember the first person that asked me, and it really, really, really irritated me. They said, oh, so what computer programs do you use? And I was like, oh, I gave him like the evil. I gave him the death stare, because I'm going, you want to know, I could see where they were going. You want to know what computer programs I use so that you can now, by getting those computer programs, do what you just saw that I did. And I'm thinking, so I mean, that went through my mind in a nanosecond. So I looked at that person and I said, it has nothing to do with the computer programs I use. It just happens to just be the medium that I'm actually bringing my talent into existence. And I said to her, and I said, look, the microphone didn't make the Beatles sound good. The Beatles made the microphone sound good. That was what I told her.
That's good. How did that go? What'd she say?
You could hear
the headlights.
You could hear the gears that had not been in motion for a while going.
Like, well, I can assure you that question was never on my list. So I'm glad I didn't ask that one. So my last question, right? I consider you a mega influencer. You've helped me shape what I do now, and I'm very thankful. I appreciate you coming on. You were very kind when I reached out to you. Cold reached out to the David Breyer. He answered, I don't know if it was you or not. I assume it was. He answers his messages, which not everybody can say they do. But my question is, who's influenced you? If you had to pick one or two or three people as you were getting started in branding 40 years ago, what made you have a light bulb moment? You were like, I want to get into this field.
There's a few layers to that question, and I'll just give them to you.
Sure, please.
My whole life, I was always involved and inspired by art.
Okay.
My life was art.
I should have known that. We just talked about art.
Yeah. So, but it wasn't just limited to visual art. I did sculpture. I played drums. I love music. I've composed music. So I love all of these things. And then I started to get into doing illustration, move from fine art to illustrations, and then from illustration to design. So it kind of morphed. And so for me, it was when I made the definitive decision to go from, you know what, do I want to do illustration? Or, which means that if I'm going to do illustration, I'm going to hand my illustration off to an art director. That art director then is going to do some really right things and really bring this all together, like a great symphony or a great meal under the expertise of a chef. Or it's going to be, he's going to pick freaking Helvetica and lime green, and it's going to be like the ugliest piece of shit. And I'll go, what the hell is that? And so that was at the point that I decided I'm going to actually be a designer, because then I can make sure that all the pieces that should be properly brought together are doing their job. The words, the color, the type of imagery, the way that the flow of it, the pacing of it, because like anything, you know, it's like a great movie has an ebb and a flow. A great movie has tension and calmness. Great songs have the sound and the silence. You have you have these things juxtaposing, and you know, and black and white of a design, and brightness and quietness, and these things are so misunderstood. People think you just be loud. You gotta, or it's like you gotta just pound and just be like always be and always be on. No, if you're always on, there's never a reach and a quietness and a moment. And no, and like the best salesperson doesn't always just blabber. The best salesperson knows when to ask a question and then shut the hell up and allow your prospect or your customer to speak. So sure, all of these things, I'm always looking at all these things to balance them in real time.
I love it. All right, quick prediction. Clubhouse is a real deal or just a fad?
I think Clubhouse as an avenue has remarkable potential. Will it go through like a super high saturation point and then just die? I don't think so. Because I think that there's enough original thinkers. I think that there's enough folks who are willing to explore and play. How do you moderate a room? How do you add value? You know, and then there's some of these enormously big rooms. But the thing that I think that it's vitally interesting is that it's a real time. It's not like you drop a post and are you getting engagement? Are you responding? Right. Da, 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 da. It's not that time released type of thing. So it's just that I think it's real. I compare, when people have asked me about it, I compare Clubhouse to a hybrid of live radio and the walkie-talkie. It's the 21st century version of live radio and the walkie-talkie, because you can all of a sudden, the whole 6 degrees of separation can be like, wait a second. I just knocked down all five degrees. I'm 1 degree away. I'm in the same room as fill in your greatest VIP that you were like, are you kidding? I'm hearing them right in real time responding to something that just happened in the news 20 minutes ago. So there's that. There's a dynamic that, as simple and absurdly stupid as it is kind of rather fascinating and pretty real. It could also become an amazing time suck. So I think people are learning. I think people are learning to, how do I actually interact with this thing so it doesn't suck my life away and be like, because I know that there's some people who are on like 3-4 hours a day. I'm like, well, I don't know about them. I have clients to satisfy. I have clients, brands to build. That's not me. So anyway, I think it will have a life. I think it's going to have a more life and relevance than probably the Twitter is probably the biggest dinosaur on the social media horizon right now. I mean, it just seems to be kind of like, okay, you plunk crap and I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems very, very like a dinosaur.
I feel like Clubhouse is like when I used to eavesdrop on my parents' conversations and try not to let them hear me breathe before mute was invented. You can appreciate that's a radio show, a call-in radio show where caller number 7, what do you got? You got 3 minutes.
That's right.
So no, I love that. And you know, I don't know about you, but I don't know if Clubhouse will be the brand, but I feel like it's the first mover. And you know, there's Twitter and Facebook and all these companies trying to steal that idea the way that Instagram, in my opinion, stole Snapchat. So maybe they come out on top, maybe they don't, but I think the concept is real.
I hope it's my belief, and I'm hoping that it stays the on top, because what I find ridiculous is, like, I mean, when LinkedIn added stories, that's useless, right?
Yep.
You know, and even Facebook is like, it's like, guys, how many freaking stories do we have to, are we supposed to be at this point? Don't turn me into the one chasing all of the Me Tooism that you guys are all into. Oh, they're doing it, therefore we're going to do it. I think that's stupid. And I have less and less respect for Facebook. I think Facebook, it's one of those things that's been grandfathered in, because guaranteed, you know it, I know it, anybody listening to this knows it. If anyone, Mark Zuckerberg or anyone else, were to look at Facebook today, would they actually create what they have today? Mm. From the standpoint of how it exists, to the standpoint of how its infrastructure, it's insane if you try to have to do anything to set up an ad, do a thing. It's like, are you kidding? You have to hire an expert to actually help you navigate where the hell you can do to do this or do that. So I know that it would not be what anyone would create today if it were newly created today. So,
yeah,
you know, but it's sort of like this thing that's sort of, it's part of the landscape now. Half of the population of Earth is on it. So it's like, kind of like, okay, air. Might be good air, might be bad air, might be on the downwind of something a little funky, but whatever.
Dude, the whole, everything you just said, for sure, the Clubhouse idea is so incredible. And I feel like from a perspective of growth, they've created so much FOMO, fear of missing out. I love the strategy. I don't know if it was even with purpose and intent. Maybe they did it because they didn't know how much server space to buy. I don't fucking know, but holy crap, has it worked? Would you agree?
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
iPhone only, exclusive. You got to have an invite. Like, who does that?
Don't you remember? Gmail was that way?
I don't remember.
Oh.
I had an AOL account forever.
That was Gmail.
Wow.
The invite only definitely has the exclusivity factor, no question. It's a gateway drug to, like, you see this person's name and this person's name and this person's name. So you go, oh my God, so and so, and you can be here in, you know, Elon Musk, or you could be here in Grant Cardone, or you could be here in, you know, Damon, or you could be here in, you know, so
you,
yeah, or me. There you go.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate it. I'm gonna go out on a limb and ask you a question that could totally backfire, and I'm willing to put it out there and fall on the sword. But I imagine all of your incredible quotes you've received that you can talk about have been always organic. Damon John, Grant Cardone, Claude, I don't give a shit about organic or not. Is there anything you can give me a soundbite on that would help me get some more rock star guests on this podcast that are friends with yours about me and how I do this?
Well, I would say basically it's like, there are two Silvers that I actually have in my network. You know, there's Claude Silver and then there's Eric Silverman. And you need to make it part of your business to actually know both. And if you are anybody that values anything about your reputation, you need to get yourself on Eric Silverman's podcast here right now.
Oh man, thank you so much. I appreciate it so much. I teach salespeople for a living for 20 years, and I always say, don't ever, ever hesitate to ask for the order. So I'm not afraid to do that. David, you have a best-selling book, Brand Intervention, right there on your website and anywhere you can buy books. It's incredible. But I heard you have a new book coming out with a Ford to my new found friend, pseudo celebrity that I look up to, Claude Silver. Is it true she's writing the Ford to your new book?
She's actually already written it, and it's already written, and it's beautiful, and I forever hold in my heart what she wrote when we wrapped it up. It literally gave her chills. It was just
That's
so
awesome,
and so Claude, if you're listening to this, you know that I love you to the ends of the earth, which I do, and she's a dear, 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 dear heart. And I my nickname for Claude, I call her the soul pillow.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, I'm honored that you gave me such a fabulous quote where I'm in the same sentence as her. Holy crap. I'm shitting myself. With all seriousness, that's amazing. I appreciate it. When's the drop date? When's the release date? I know you're not going to tell me the name of the book. I asked already, guys. It's not coming. But what's the drop date? Do we have that in the works?
The drop, well, obviously the whole 2020 threw everything off. But I would say the drop, what I would like to think, let me think here.
Uh-oh, put him on the spot.
I would say first quarter 2022, basically. Okay. One year from now, is that by then or sooner?
Okay. Awesome. Well, we're going to be on the lookout. Everybody go to risingabovethenoise.com. Follow David Breyer, not Breer. That's an inside joke and a whole nother story. Follow him anywhere you are on social media, Clubhouse, LinkedIn, Instagram. He's probably got a Facebook page too, regardless of what we just talked about, because he's smart and he's a branding guy. So follow him there. For everybody that is watching the podcast here, for anybody listening, anywhere you consume podcasts, if you have questions, comments, ideas, suggestions, thoughts, please drop them in the comments section. If you're so inclined, leave me a review. I'd appreciate it. 5 stars would totally rock. And for everybody behind the scenes that helped me put this together at the Rockstars Rockin' Podcast, I'm Eric Silverman. It's been a pleasure talking to David Breyer, and I very much appreciate your time, my friend.
Absolutely, man. Totally a blast.
Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rock Stars Rocking Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, rock stars, keep rocking.